You are listening to a special Screenfish one-on-one with podcaster and film reviewer Josh Larson. Josh is also the author of Movies Are Prayers, and we're excited to talk to him about film, culture, and the story of God. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Welcome to the podcast. We are so excited this week to have a one-on-one with Josh Larson. Josh is a film reviewer from Chicago. You may know him from the podcast Film Spotting, and he has his own website as well, Larson on Film. Did I miss anything? Because you seem to be everywhere.
Well, you actually missed the day job. Probably the one I should mention too, because I think listeners will be into it. It's thinkchristian.net, where I'm the editor. So it's a faith and pop culture online magazine, and actually most of the theological film writing that I do there. So
okay.
Yeah, so it all keeps me pretty busy.
Well, it sounds like it. And so can you tell us a little bit about Think Christian or Film Spotting? How do they differ?
Sure. Well, it's really a matter of audience, and there's a fair amount of crossover, too, between them. That was sort of a delightful thing to discover, is that there were Film Spotting listeners who found out about my work at Think Christian, and that sounded interesting to them, so they came on over and would read stuff there. And then there are also Think Christian readers who would be really into film and want to be part of the conversation at Film Spotting. But in general, you know, Film Spotting is for a mainstream movie-loving audience, and so it maybe leans a little more towards cinephiles. People are really interested in studying film, but we also cover the big releases as well. But it's definitely a mainstream audience, so we air on WBEZ in Chicago. And then Think Christian is a media ministry, so it's part of a larger media ministry, and we are looking to talk with Christians who want a place to discuss the movies they're watching, the music they're listening to, the TV shows they're watching, and do that from a place of grace and appreciation, also discernment, but are really, you know, people who are consuming this stuff as passionate fans and want a place to think about it theologically a little bit.
Oh, that's really cool. And one more thing that we can add to that list, Josh, is, of course, now you are an author. This is your first book. Am I right on that? I think so.
Yep, this is it.
Yep. Josh is the author of the upcoming book, Movies Are Prayers, How Films Voice Our Deepest Longings. And it's such a great title. It's so simple and seems so clear. But, Josh, maybe you could tell us a little bit about that. What makes a film a prayer? How does prayer and a film interact? In some ways, they seem so different.
Sure, and they definitely can be. So this is more of a suggestion of a way to look at certain films than claiming every movie necessarily works this way. But the basic idea was flipping a little bit this Christian approach to film that we've been doing for the last couple of decades, maybe a little bit more, which is to ask, how does God speak through the movies? Certainly believe that that can happen, and I enjoy sometimes looking at films from that perspective. But the more I began to think about movies theologically, and a lot of this came out of my work at Think Christian, and really studied how they worked as well in terms of what the filmmakers were trying to do, the aesthetic choices they made, I began to see that the movies frequently function as forms of prayer that we're familiar with as Christians. So if you think of prayers of lament, you think of prayers of confession or prayers of praise, movies express very similar things. And once I started seeing those parallels, it made a lot of sense to me, because what are movies? But, you know, at their best, they're these artistic expressions. They're groups of people coming together to consider, what is this place? What is this world? Why are we here? What does it all mean? Now, obviously, not every movie is interested in that. Some just want to make a buck. But there are those that are asking these other questions. And that's what our prayers do, too, right? Our prayers are asking questions of God or expressing things to God. Sometimes even anger. There's a chapter on movies as prayers of anger. And I thought this might be fun to try to see how certain movies worked in this way, and that kind of became a bigger project that InterVarsity Press was interested in. And man, it was really rewarding to do that exploration, looking for these films that might function as prayers.
Hmm. And it's such a great book because you don't just handle what's the latest film in the theater. You're talking about everything, you know, looking back at movies from the 30s, 40s, and 50s up to, you know, The Muppets and, you know, mentioning films like Suicide Squad and Batman versus Superman, you know, in different contexts, diving into book movies like Chinatown and Hard Day's Night at the same time. One of the things that you said, though, that really caught my attention in the book is that God uses story to communicate his very nature to us, as well as his plan for the world. We, in turn, use story to make sense of our experience within his narrative. And so our prayers, including those uttered in the movies we watch, always fall somewhere along God's timeline. Could you unpack that a little bit for us? Like, what do you mean by using story to communicate God's nature and our experience?
Sure. So there's a secondary framework to the book, really. It's primarily each chapter is devoted to a type of prayer and seeing how films do express those types of prayer themselves. But also there's this larger framework, and it's a biblical one. It's understanding that the trajectory of Scripture is that the world was created good. It fell into sin. It was redeemed by Christ's work on the cross, and now we are waiting that day of full restoration. So if you look at these different sorts of prayers I talk about, they generally fall somewhere along that timeline. So prayers of praise echo delight at the good creation that God made initially and that we still see glimmers of in this day, in our time. But something like prayers of lament or anger or confession, these all relate to that period of falling into sin. And then we have things like obedience, which I talk about, a prayer of obedience not being a pledge to do something right so we earn salvation, but rather an expression of thanks for the gift of redemption that Christ has already given us. So a prayer of obedience along that timeline comes after the redemption from Christ's work on the cross. And then you move on to restoration, which was a hard one because we're not there yet, right? Mm-hmm. But we do have glimmers of that as well. So here I talk about prayers of joy, prayers of meditation and contemplation, how these very much look forward to that final day. So the book has this sort of overarching framework, I guess you could say, that is taken from the basic trajectory of Scripture.
Mm-hmm. I love that each chapter is framed that way. It's so crisp. You know, films are prayers of lament. Films are prayers of praise, as you were saying before. I was wondering, you know, in all your experience working with film, do you think that there's any type of film, any particular prayers, if you will, that seem to get offered more than others in the film industry? Or is it just so broad you can't even quantify?
No, so, I mean, some chapters, one way to answer this is some chapters were easier than others. And I think that's because, you know, certain expressions are more universal or more common. And maybe the two that work that way, at least in my experience, are prayers of yearning, which is kind of, you know, the baseline. This is where everybody starts. Every human being has some sort of yearning within them, trying to figure out, is there something more than what I see right in front of my face, and what I experience through my senses, what science can prove, what else might be out there? And we as Christians also, you know, still yearn after we even have faith because we don't have all the answers. So it's also something that's deep within our hearts as believers, is we yearn for that closer relationship that we don't quite have yet in this time. And we yearn for more answers about God. So that's a very common expression to find in films, particularly in science fiction films. So I spend time on a lot of sci-fi movies in that chapter. The other one I would say is more common is prayers of lament. Lamenting is obviously universal, no matter who you are or whatever religious affiliation or none that you have, you experience lament in your life. And so the movies, obviously, we have tons of movies that capture just the terrible things that people have experienced and offer these experiences up. And we, as Christians, that's what we do through our prayers of lament, right, is offer those expressions up to God as well. And so those are two things, too, yearning and lament, because they're so universal. So they are easily found in non-religious films, and that's primarily what I tried to concentrate on the book. So here and there, I'll mention a movie that has a religious theme or a religious character, but primarily I wanted to look at movies that were quote-unquote secular and find ways that even they would function as prayers.
Yeah, that was something I found really interesting, too, is when we talk about them as prayers, we're using very Christian language with that. But a lot of times when we talk about the films that are listed in the book and whatnot, these are not quote-unquote faith-based films. So I was wondering, why do you think that people who are not attempting to make faith-based material, that there seems to be these echoes that go on within them?
Well, I guess you could say it goes all the way back to a idea given by the Dutch theologian Abraham Kuyper, common grace, this idea that God has bestowed upon all of his creatures these creative abilities that are expressed in filmmaking, but also this longing for eternity that's buried in our hearts. And so we all as humans share this. You know, it's the Imago Dei. We are created in his image, and we share this longing to be reunited with him. So that, to me, gives evidence that any movie should at least be allowed the opportunity to speak this way. But you got to be careful, too, and I really wanted to be careful in doing this, because some of the filmmakers behind these movies I write about, if you ask them, they could say, no way, we weren't going for that at all. You're way off base. Mm. And so one way I tried to mitigate that is to start with the actual text of the movies themselves and spend a lot of time discussing how lighting choices or even the editing or certain aspects of the performances, costume design, production design, all this really tactile stuff that's there on the screen, how that adds to this idea of that movie working as a prayer. So what my hope is there is that I'm not hijacking the art. Instead, I'm trying to apply this particular lens to what's there on the screen so that a filmmaker could say, okay, that's not what I meant, but at least you're taking seriously what we did do and looking at it through your particular lens. So hopefully I've managed to pull that off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think there's any particular type of prayers that maybe we've lost as a culture or even as a church?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I mean, I guess I can only answer it personally, and I don't know if we've lost it collectively, or maybe it's just from the tradition that I come out of. But the real challenge for me with the book was considering prayers of meditation and contemplation. It just hasn't really been, a part of my own experience. And so it was fascinating to research that, to try to put that into practice. I'm a very logical, reason-based guy, so I'm not wired that way. And that is something that was, I don't think it's fair to say we've lost. I think just maybe I'm not familiar with traditions that still make that a bigger part of, one's faith life.
Yeah, for sure. Of course. Here's a question I was wondering, too. In linking these two things together, it obviously creates all sorts of questions because, I'm a pastor. And as a pastor, you talk about prayer in the church, all sorts of things. And one of the things that we find is everybody's sort of got their own view of what prayer is, whether or not it's a type of prayer, like you were saying before, that you're not familiar with. So everybody sort of has their different view of what is supposed to happen with prayer. I was wondering, do you think that our misunderstanding of prayer can contribute to the church? And I focus on the church in this regard in some ways, but the church's misunderstanding of film.
Boy, that's a tough one. I certainly think there's still a misunderstanding of film in some areas of the church, and I can probably speak more to that than any sort of misunderstanding of prayer that there might be. I guess my hope would be that one thing that will be helpful from the book is not only that it's illuminating other aspects or potential aspects of these movies, but will also illuminate the good things about these types of prayer and place them, give them more prominence in our lives. Because I know that was my experience, to think more deeply about what it meant to offer a prayer of lament. After writing the book now, when we do that even collectively in church, I have a better understanding of its spiritual value for me personally. So I do hope that is one benefit that people will get from the book, or even to think of, you know, as I was talking about prayers of obedience, what that means, to maybe think a little bit differently how when we pledge to obey God, we are not doing it in order to earn his favor, but we are doing that as a profession of thanks, to say, because you have done this for me, to honor you, I will pledge to live in a way you have required of me. And so that just kind of flips, even for me at least, it flipped to the idea of a prayer of obedience. So I do hope that that is a benefit. And then, yeah, as far as the second half of that question, I think we've moved in some very healthy ways in the church in terms of trying to understand film and its value as an art form. And hopefully a project like this will help further move Christian consideration movies in that direction. Not setting aside discernment, but maybe approaching movies with a bit more grace and a bit more appreciation first, rather than out of fear.
Yeah, that's one of the issues that I've seen time and time again, is there seems to be this standoffishness or this distancing of oneself because there's a fear of hearing what people from outside the church have to say because of the way they say it. And I think that's a really interesting point to make. Is there a type of film that you connect with more than others, and why?
In terms of these types of prayer, like which ones?
Sure.
The yearning one really does still speak to me. As I said, that's not something that's just for those people who are curious about faith or just coming into faith. It's something that I still feel every day as a lifelong believer. So that was really a rewarding chapter to explore and to think about the movies that echo that for me. Because really this is part of the motivation for the book, is I found that while I was watching films, these feelings and expressions that I had within me were being put out there by the movie, expressed by the movie almost on my behalf. And so something that is, you know, very common in my life is this idea of yearning to know more, to understand more about God. It was really rewarding to see that echoed in certain films. And I probably go back to lament as well, because that's a common one, and it's cathartic for a movie to lament on my behalf. So something like anger works similarly too, you know, those feelings of, and I spend some time distinguishing between lament and anger, of anger that I might have at God. A movie can express that for me in some ways, whereas I might keep it buried down myself or feel I can't express that to God. Then having a movie do it for me kind of gets that out there.
Here's the next logical step then, Josh. Are there any particular films in 2017 that you have felt have had a strong element of prayer to them?
Oh, another good question. So I've written about a bunch at Think Christian and haven't really given them sort of this prayer treatment. I think I'm kind of almost worn out from that. But there's been some interesting movies in terms of their, you know, how they work, how they look aesthetically, and, you know, and their themes as well. Jonathan Demme is a director who died about a month ago now, I think, maybe a little more. Mm. And so revisiting his films, I found them to be richly empathetic, and wrote a piece on Think Christian about how his camera almost echoes a God's eye view of humanity, because it's such a loving gaze that Demme had to his work. But as far as, you know, recent films, Guardians of the Galaxy's Volume 2, I think had some really fascinating things to say within it about this idea of a deity and what it means to be a creator. The phrase the movie itself uses, small g, God. Mm-hmm. So that's one that's just kind of asking for that sort of interpretation. But I try to kind of – I don't want to come to every movie I see and say, okay, what type of prayer might this movie slot itself into, because that's kind of working the process backwards, where I'm really more wanting to approach movies and let them speak first, see what, again, aesthetic choices they've made, what things they're interested in, and then ask, okay, how does that resonate with my Christian faith? Sometimes it might be because the movie works as a prayer, but maybe it might not. And so I'm trying not to go into every movie, even though my mind worked that way for a good year and a half, 2 years. I'm trying not to go into every movie and say, this has to work as a kind of prayer, because I think you're not really allowing the movie to speak first then.
Yeah, that's one of the challenges when you start to reframe things like this, is then you start framing everything and assuming that it all falls in. But I think you're wise in that sense. Let them speak first. Alien Covenant is another one, and maybe that's just because it's the last one I saw. But, oh, man, Alien Covenant and Guardians are a fascinating one to punch.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, for Alien Covenant, it's all right there for you, right? It's in the title. And as, you know, as it has been in Ridley Scott's last couple of films, which is really interesting to think about why he's taken his movies in that direction. So, yeah, I listened to your guys' discussion on Alien Covenant with Mikey Fissel.
Yeah.
That was a good one, because there's a lot of stuff to dig into there.
Yeah, it was a fun one. There's a lot in that particular film that you can talk about. So Josh, then, when does the book come out? I think it's June 13th. Is that correct?
It's June 13th, so coming up pretty quick here.
That's great. That's exciting. And certainly, having had the chance to look it over, it is really, really great. We are actually going to give away a copy. All you need to do is tell us in the comments underneath the page, what is your favorite film and what do you think it wants to say? Just a short one sentence in there, and we will be taking somebody's name there and sending them a copy. Josh, thank you so much for coming on. It's been so much fun to talk with you.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Movies as Prayers comes out June 13th. We started the conversation. This was Screenfish.